Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Canes within 3 yards of a game-winning touchdown, which would send them home to the championship game.
It was Marty Brown against Ohio State. Does he get another opportunity?
Three receivers bunch to the left. Becca's looking that way. And still looking, takes off running. Carson Beck with his legs puts Miami on top. What a drive.
Yowza, yowza, yowza. From the student section behind the goal line on Saturdays to the buzzer beaters of the madness in March, welcome to episode number 3 of Bowl Games and Brackets. I am Joe, and I am joined by my compadre Darren, and we are here to take you through the world of college football and basketball, from the rivalries and underdogs to the legendary performances. We will be your guide each and every week. From your dorm room to the tailgate, we have you covered. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. Darren, welcome to tonight's show.
I'm pretty pumped up, man. The ACC. This is actually... If you want to talk about how a mighty have fallen type of conference, this is kind of it. Miami's Miami, and we're going to get into them in a little bit. But teams like Clemson and Florida State and perennial powers, even North Carolina had some really strong years. Virginia Tech and the Beamer had some huge years, have fallen a little bit on harder times. I mean, this was the conference, if you don't forget, Miami almost didn't get in. They almost didn't get a bid. They almost didn't get a team into the playoff last year. They had a team go all the way to the final. But this could have been like the unprecedented Power 5 squad conference, I should say, that didn't even get a team into the playoff. Some very interesting stuff happens in the ACC. It's a great rivalries, great matchups. Obviously, includes Cal and Stanford now, which is a little weird, but for the Atlantic Coast Conference. But, it is what it is, Joe. Any excitement about this before we get kicking off here?
No, it's the third one that we're previewing, so it is falls in line, number 3, and it should be interesting. I know you have a team, though, the team that you already mentioned, the team that lost in last year's title game, the Hurricanes of Miami, that you want to talk about. So you want us to kick us off with them.
Well, here's the thing. Miami is probably would be the biggest upset if they don't win the ACC out of any of the major conferences. We have great teams in the SEC, which we touched on, Georgia being the favorite. And we have great teams in the Big Ten with Oregon and Ohio State being favorites and stuff like that. The ACC has no other team that should be on paper anywhere near Miami. Now, as much as we say that, Miami didn't even make the conference championship game last year. The ACC has a funny way of evening things out. But here's what it is that you have to know. The Hurricanes are back, okay? They lose in the championship game after some great defensive performances in the playoff. 10-3 win over A&M, 24-14 over Ohio State, 31-27 over Ole Miss, a little bit more high scoring than the others, before falling 27-21 to Indiana. This team did a lot of great things in the playoff, and that 10-3 game against A&M, that defensive struggle, just showed that they can really battle with anybody. And then the shootout comeback win against Ole Miss shows they can battle with anybody. But here's what happens. Carson Beck is gone. In comes Darian Mensah, okay? Darian Mensah comes in from Duke. Duke loses not only him, but also their number one receiver over to Miami, okay? And this was a strange thing because it happened kind of late, and Duke didn't really get a chance to rebound from it, but that's what the world we live in now in the NIL is. And Darian Mensah comes in, and there's a lot of people that just feel like he's going to be an upgrade over Carson Beck. And if he's an upgrade, this is going to be a very interesting Miami team. You got to remember, they won the ACC title at Duke, Darian Mensah. He won the title. He is experienced in big games. He has Malachi Toney back, most explosive receiver on the team and probably in the conference. And maybe in the country. I mean, you know, behind Jeremiah Smith. He's a sophomore now. He's ready to go to the next level. I mentioned him before, Cooper Barcotti. He comes in from Duke, okay? He led Duke in receiving. Now he comes back to play with Mensah again. They had Vandrevious Jacobs from South Carolina. So they're going to be stacked throwing the ball down the field. Mark Fletcher, back. Big-time running back. The ground attack at Coral Gables should be just fine. O-line was amazing last year. Only gave up 11 sacks all season, but lost multiple starters, okay? This year, they start a true freshman, Joe. Luke Cantwell is expected to start at left tackle for this team. We're going to see how that works out because that's not something that you normally see for a team that's going for a championship, but this kid is that talented, so we're going to see what happens there. Defense returns two monster defensive tackles who are going to be first-round picks next year. Justice Scott, Ahmad Moten. I mean, these guys are big, and they have a lot of depth there. Damon Wilson comes in from Mizzou. He had 9 sacks in the SEC. He's going to take over for Bain and, you know, the ends that were so dominant last year for Miami. And then you get, you know, I mean, there's still big shoes to fill. The linebackers are good. Muhammad Torre, Chase Smith are back. I mean, this team on paper is the best team in the ACC, Joe. They really are. And the fact is, yeah, they have to go to Clemson. Notre Dame on November 7th is going to be a tricky game, and that's what everyone's looking for because Notre Dame, you remember, was ahead of Miami on all the ranking services till the last week. So Notre Dame gets kicked out of the playoff. Miami takes their spot and does some good things with it. Gets all the way to the final, much like Notre Dame did the year prior. And then they made the new rule for Notre Dame, and we'll get into that later. But they don't, you know, listen, they have to go to Wake, Florida State, Pitt, Duke, Vatek, BC. They don't have a tough schedule. I mean, Miami should kind of roll through this. Florida State's not Florida State. You know, at Clemson's going to be the tough one, and at Notre Dame, this team, if they have more than one loss, two on the high end, it seems like it'll be a big deal. They should be able to outclass everyone they play, Joe.
Well, we're going to see. But I think there's one team that they might have. Well, there's a couple of teams I think they have to watch out for. And one of them is the Cardinals of Louisville. Okay. And they're coming in, Jeff Brohm, fourth year, 4 years, four quarterbacks, and 25-plus transfers in every year. This year his quarterback comes from Ohio State, 6'2", 215, Lincoln Kineholtz. So he's going to be leading the quarterback room. Now, he's got two transfers coming in two at wide receiver, LaWayne McCoy from Florida State, and the Vandy wide receiver, Trey Richardson, who's a speedster at 5'10", 175. Last year he had 806 yards with Diego Pavia. Now, they also brought in a new tight end, Brody Foley from Tulsa, and they brought in a running back, Marquis Davis from Missouri, to join their running back duo of Isaac Brown and Kewan Brown, not related, who combined for 1,588 yards and 13 TDs last year. He brought in a lot of transfers on the offensive line. So Jeff Brohm brings people in. Here's part of his problem. He's 12-1 in October, but 16-11 when the calendar changes to November. So that's part of Louisville's problem. They might get out to a hot start, but then they're gonna regress a little bit on the second half of the year. If he can put it together, possibly this could be the year for them. Now, on the defense side, Ryan English is taking a year off, so Steve Ellis and Mark Ivey are going to be co-DCs for the year, and they're led by the returning defensive end of Clev Lubin with 8.5 sacks and 3 forced fumbles. They have two good linebackers in Antonio Watts and Stanquan Clark. And they got a transfer in a cornerback, 6'3", 205 from Kentucky, DJ Waller, who was actually on the 23 Michigan team that won the NCAA championship. Now, schedule-wise, Louisville, they start off in the Music City kickoff against Ole Miss on September 6th. So that'll be a good gauge early on for both teams. Then on the 19th, they have SMU. But then, curious enough, they avoid Louisville, Vatek, Clemson, and Miami in their schedule. So after that SMU game, they got Wake, NC State, Florida State, Syracuse, Stanford, Georgia Tech, North Carolina, Pitt, and Kentucky. So they could run the table. And it's going to be an interesting November for them with Tech, North Carolina, Pitt, and Kentucky. So there is a chance that Louisville could make it to the title game this year. So, you know, if they get off to that good start, they get out of the gate well, they have a good chance to be a one-loss or two-loss team going into the ACC championship game, where they may play Miami, unless a team that you're going to cover can surprise and get back to the top.
Yeah, I mean, listen, here is what it comes down to. Clemson was a perennial power in the ACC for many years. You know, then the NIL hit and all this stuff happened, and Dabo does not like to play into the transfer portal. Just not his thing, right? So what happens is he's losing players but not gaining players, and he's doing it the old school way. He's doing it the Dabo way. I'm going to build him up through the system. And suddenly Clemson all of a sudden became, I don't know, pedestrian a little bit, for lack of a better term. Listen, gone are the days of Deshaun Foster. Gone are the days of Trevor Lawrence. The Cade Klubnik era, now he's on with the Jets. Cade, it never really got to the level where they were expecting it at Clemson. And, you know, this year he changed a little bit, okay? Got 12 players out of the portal, most he's ever done. I mean, these guys are bringing in 30, 40, some guys. Jeff Brom, 25 every year. He went up to 12 just to try to kind of, you know, stem the tide a little bit. But the key to this team is going to be quarterback. It always is. Christopher Vizzini takes over at QB. You know, we're going to see if he's the answer. I mean, he looks the part. He's got the arm. He can run. He can do all the things they need. It's going to be if Vizzini, who I don't believe is any relation to the guy from The Princess Bride. But nonetheless, I think he has an opportunity to kind of take this team to the next level. And what he gets back is Chad Morris comes back in as the offensive coordinator. He was there during the heyday with Deshaun and company. So let's see if Morris can bring back the magic. The running backs are good. Gideon Davidson's back. Chris Johnson comes in from SMU. They have a nice receiving core returning. Actually, a really nice one. T.J. Moore and Brian Wesco are back. These guys will both be drafted. They'll both be playing on Sunday. And they get an elite recruit in Naeem Burrows, right? So they have talent to throw the ball to. O-line's supposed to be better, a little deeper. Listen, it wasn't great last year, but it was okay. This is supposed to be better. This team's problem last year, 34% conversions on third down. If they can't get move the chains on third down, they're not going anywhere. On defense, the linebackers are going to be terrific. Sammy Brown is back in the middle and Jeremiah Alexander on the outside. And they're going to be hitting everything that moves. Will Helt comes back as the defensive tackle. Led the team with, I think it was 8 sacks last year. They have no superstars, but they have solid depth. They brought in Landon Merritt from Colorado. Problem with this team last year was the pass defense. They were not so good. So Dabo hit the portal, as we said, and rebuilt the entire secondary. So we're going to find out if he's done enough. Here's the thing. The ACC is better when Clemson's good. The ACC needs Clemson to be good. They need Florida State, Clemson, and Miami to be good. These are the schools that are supposed to raise the entire level of this conference and give it the, you know, the look that the conference needs. And then you fill it in with teams like Virginia and North Carolina and Louisville and everybody else. But when Clemson's down, the ACC is down. And that's something, same thing with Miami, and that's something that can't happen. So Clemson has a real shot this year to get back in it. I actually think this team is less talented than last year, but I think they're going to have a better record. So we're going to find out what's going to happen, and that they're going to be in contention for that championship game. Joe, there is one other squad that really has a legit shot here, and they happen to play on the Atlantic coast of Dallas. Anyway, so let me pass it off to you.
The SMU Mustangs, 14-2 in the last 2 years in the ACC. So anybody who doubted them coming into the ACC and having to adapt to this conference, those things were answered. Those questions were answered right away. Rhett Lashley has them going well. They played in the ACC championship game in 2024. Last year they missed by one game from playing for the championship. So he then turns around. He's got a senior quarterback who's coming off of an ankle injury, Kevin Jennings. He threw for 3,600 yards and 26 TDs with only 13 interceptions. Now, he brought in a transfer from Cal via NC State, Kendrick Raphael, 943 yards and 13 touchdowns. Through the portal, they brought in some wide receiver help. Jalen Hale from Alabama. Imagine people leaving Alabama. Yannick Smith from East Carolina, Randy Pittman Jr. from Florida State, the competition, and Theo Lemelin Ostrom from Texas A&M. So he remade some of that wide receiver room to try to give Jennings some more people to throw to. He was explosive before that. On the defensive side of the ball, they have two new defensive coordinators, well, co-defensive coordinators in Maurice Crum Jr. and Ricky Hundley Jr. The defensive line is completely brand new. They brought in Marcellus Barnes Jr. He returns, I should say, and the defensive back Williams Nettles returns. But he brought in Jarvis Lee from USF and Jimmy Nyrak from University of Texas San Antonio to join that defensive line. Linebacker Jamal Anderson came in from the portal from Clemson, and they brought in cornerback Jarvis Lee from South Florida, who had two INTs, four sacks, and 12 tackles for loss. But his linebacking core returns intact. Alexander Kilgore, Brandon Booker, and Brandon Mizano return. They combined for 174 tackles on the defense. The defensive side of the ball should be a lot better this year. SMU should be good. Their schedule, another team. They avoid Clemson and Miami. So it's going to be interesting. Miami, like you said earlier, could skate through their schedule, but whoever they're going to play in this championship game, they might not have faced all year, which is going to be interesting. They do have their Florida State early on, SMU, which shouldn't be a problem. The middle of the month, they have Louisville, like we just talked about. And then at the end of the year in November, they have Va Tech on the 14th. And they do have a game at Notre Dame, which should be interesting. That's the second to last weekend, November the 21st. So that should be a circle your wagon moment for SMU, because if they're in the contention for the ACC, that could be another one where they have a chance to knock Notre Dame. Another ACC team could knock Notre Dame out of the college football playoff. So it'll be interesting. Rhett Lashley's done an unbelievable job bringing SMU into the ACC. You would have never expected it, but they assimilated very well, and they should be primed to make another run this year to the ACC championship game.
Yeah, this is a team that got the death penalty a couple decades ago, and they're back. They had the
Marcus Dupree.
Marcus Dupree was Oklahoma. This was Eric Dickerson, Craig James, Ron Meyer teams, man.
The Pony Express, my bad.
Now, here's one thing. There's a team I think can sneak up on people, and they happen to play in Charlottesville. Now, the reason why I bring up the University of Virginia, the Cavaliers, is that Tony Elliott's squad is back after losing in the ACC championship game last year. But now they enter Bo Prabula, who you remember from Penn State transferring, during the playoff, and then goes to Missouri, transfers out of there. Now it's his third spot. Now he comes to Virginia. He comes in to replace Chandler Morris, who was there for like 37 years, but was really, really good. Prabula can run. He can throw a little bit. They have three good wide receivers. They're all transfers. They bring in Rico Flores from UCLA, Deshaun Martin from Kent State, Jaquan Gibson from UMass. So they're good. But the thing I like about Virginia so much, Joe, is that the O-line is really good. It's experienced. It's excellent. They can control the line of scrimmage. They can control the ball. Bring in Peyton Lewis from Tennessee to run the ball. Bring in Ja'Kale Middlebrook, comes in from Middle Tennessee, who can run and catch it. They really have enough balance on offense. And with Prabula's ability to extend plays, I think Virginia's dangerous. D-line has talent and size. Baylor transfer Matthew Fobbs White should be a strong rusher at the quarterback. Fisher Kamak is back on the other side. Cam Robinson's going to be good at linebacker. They have a solid core, a bunch of transfers in the secondary that need to gel. But for the most part, they're strong on both lines of scrimmage. And for them, August 29, later this month, they start off with a home game against NC State. I mean, conference play in August. You got to love it. But that's going to be a big determination, because NC State's another team that could be a team to look at in the same wake as Virginia, as the middle is very jammed up in this conference. They go to SMU. That's probably the toughest game on the schedule. You know, they don't have to go. That's the furthest cross country they have to go. They have West Virginia early on in September. Have to go to Va Tech, which is never easy in that little battle at the end of the season. But you know what? Virginia's got a lot of things I like about this team, and the big part of it is really if the O-line can control the line of scrimmage, they can run the ball effectively, and utilize play action and the speed of Prabula to kind of get things going. I think Virginia is a team that could be back in that ACC championship conversation. Joe, you had one last team, though, that you thought could sneak in here.
I think they're going to be a surprise. They are going to be a surprise, and that's James Franklin and Vatek. You have to say something. James Franklin had the number two team in the preseason last year at Penn State. We know it turned out to be a disaster, but then he rallied those guys and brought them with him to Vatek, a lot of them, which is very interesting because these were guys that made up that team that was number two. Now, he brought in his offensive coordinator, Tyler Howell, and he brought in his quarterback their quarterback at Penn State from the end of the year, Ethan Grunkmeyer, who had a 70% completion rate. They also brought in a four-star recruiter quarterback in Troy Hunt. On wide receiver, he brought in Q. Sean Brown and the tight end from Penn State, Luke Reynolds. He returns their leading rusher, Marcellus Hawkins, with 750 yards. And wide receiver, their leading wide receiver, Aiden Green, he only had 31 catches for 500 yards, but he led the team. He brought a new offensive line with him from the portal. He brought in an Oklahoma offensive lineman in Logan Howland. Michael Troutman III from Penn State followed him. But then he brought in from Ohio State, Justin Terry. When Ohio State loses, an offensive lineman, he's got to be a good guy. And then Justin Bell from Michigan State. So he rebuilt that offensive line to protect Grunkmeyer. On the defensive side, Brent Pry, interesting situation. He got fired as the head coach at Vatek, but because he was Franklin's DC at both Vandy and Penn State, he actually took the DC job. So he knows these guys already. That's something that very rarely happens in sports, where you get fired as the head guy and you go back as a coordinator. But he's going to do it. They returned their sack leader in Kamari Copeland, who had a little over four sacks last year. And he brought in a transfer on the edge, Samuel Okinawa, and Missouri transfer on the end, Javion Hilson. So Brent Pry knows the system, knows the players that he's got already on the defensive side. James Franklin put together a good team of coaches. Yes, they have to gel, but they have a lot of starting returners coming back, plus the guys that they brought in from Penn State and some other big schools. I think they're going to have a chance. Now, he's got 27 transfers, and he does have 23 freshmen, and he's got a schedule that's loaded for bear. He's got VMI and Old Dominion at Maryland and BC to start, but then we go to October. They're hosting Pitt at Cal, host Georgia Tech, and then here it comes, at Clemson, at SMU. Then they play Stanford at home before they go to Miami, and then they host Virginia. So this is a team, Louisville, who avoids everybody, and Vatek gets them all on the road, Clemson, SMU, and Miami. That's going to be a daunting task. I'm not saying Vatek is going to be back, but they win two out of those three games, and they're going to be knocking on the door of this ACC title game. And don't count James Franklin out. I think he's got a legitimate chance here to keep Vatek in it and close, at least till he gets to those games at the end of October.
I mean, the thing about Franklin was always never that he wasn't a good coach, except last year things fell apart a little bit.
Yeah.
It was always going to get over that last hump. He was always going to win. He won at Vandy. He won at Penn State. He won everywhere he was. It was more about can he do that last final step and win it all. Vatek just wants to get back to, where they used to be. I mean, this is the land of Michael Vick.
Yeah.
This is Blacksburg at night is ridiculous. This is getting Lane Stadium electric.
Enter Sandman.
Exactly. This is getting Lane Stadium electric. I mean, there are some great quality ACC squads that just haven't been showing up the last few years. And now it comes down to this. Are any of these teams able to put a threat onto Miami? And notably absent are two teams. One, North Carolina, where I guess Mac Brown wasn't the problem, and Florida State, where somehow, some way, they don't make the coaching change, and now they're almost considered an also-ran, Joe. I mean, it's not the same league. You expected Florida State, Miami, Vatek, to be like leaders in this league, and we're not seeing it right now.
We're six teams in, and we're not even sniffing Florida State.
No, it's weird. And the way we're both talking, I'm sorry, go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, and 3 years ago they played for the national championship.
Exactly. And now what we're sitting here saying is that we think that the Virginia Tech game, the last game of the season, could come down to a team being eliminated or knocked out of any opportunity to play in the ACC championship game, because we think both of these teams,
yeah, they're going to be in it.
The middle of this conference, I mean, I think that 1-3 kind of set up where it's Miami, SMU, and Louisville. In most things that we're talking about and hearing, Clemson, some people are going to give them the nod. Maybe they could be up there, so maybe it's the top four. But teams 5 through 13, you could have it in any order, and you have a shot of being right. It's not like, you know, some of the teams we haven't touched on aren't really, really good. But, I mean, when we talk about these six teams, at the end of the day, who do you think's better, SMU or Louisville, Joe?
Wow. I would say Louisville. I think Louisville is better. I think, Brom's done it already with multiple quarterbacks, but like I mentioned, he's got to win at the end of the season. But the schedule favors him right now.
No, I mean, that's what it comes down to. It's always about the scheduling, and that's why when you get these conferences so big, I mean, listen, let's face it. The teams that have to take the trip out to Cal or Stanford, that's not easy. And for Cal and Stanford having to come across the country all the time, that's not easy, right? Having to go to SMU, not easy. It's a road trip. These teams are used to, you know, being an hour or two apart by playing on the high end. Even, you know, BC and Syracuse aren't what they used to be, but they're at least they're on the East Coast. But these schedules where you skip important teams and you don't play everybody makes it really interesting. And that's really sometimes how it figures out here.
Think about this real quick. If Louisville's not playing Vatek, Clemson, and Miami, and SMU's not playing Clemson in Miami, there's a chance that Louisville and SMU are going to be rolling, that, you know, and Miami are going to put themselves, and basically Clemson, those four could all be 0-1 loss teams in the conference by the time they get to the last week, because they're avoiding each other.
Yeah, they don't have to play each other much. You're going to get a couple of good matchups. But the ACC, again, you know, it's you're devoid of the great teams playing each other. I mean, so now it's going to come down. Listen, when they play, week three or week four, September 21st, I think it's Louisville SMU. That's the game.
Yeah, they play the 19th.
The 19th, that's the game. That's the weekend. So the third week of the season. Who has the front runner to go up against Miami. And listen, it's not to say Miami can't lose and that these teams both can't play in the title game. It's not to say that Clemson can't beat Miami and get a rebound, and maybe they just were a little unlucky and didn't get things going the right way with their offensive coordinator and Vizzini get things going. I mean, there's a lot of things to think about, Joe.
You know, and that's the problem, I think, with these giant conferences is the fact that you're not playing everybody. You know, and you're there's only maybe one, possibly two berths in the playoffs at stake. And the wrong teams could, you know, Duke snuck in last year because everybody just beat everybody up. SMU probably has a claim to say, hey, we were one game out of the ACC championship game. You know, this is how tight this stuff is.
It's going to be interesting, man.
You know, and you know, it's not just this conference. The other conferences we spoke about, you know, of 19 teams. This would be like a professional football division being decided, let's say, the AFC East without New England, Buffalo, the Jets playing and the Dolphins playing each other during the year, but saying, okay, whoever has the most wins is going to win that division without playing each other. That's how crazy this is. And I understand you can't play 18 games, so
listen, they're playing more games than they used to. I mean, every time you turn around, you hear another, oh, they won a record 13 games. This wasn't the best Miami team of all time, but they won the record 13 games because they used to play 11 regular season and won a bowl game. It used to be 12. Yeah. Those teams that were undefeated, you know, the Warren Sapp teams and the, you know, the Steve Walsh teams and all these great squads. I mean, it's a different time, but, you know, now everybody sets records because the way the game has changed, but This is not, I don't know, this conference in particular, because of the travel, the Big Ten has some of this, but the ACC, I think, is even a little worse. Because the Cal's going out to Cal, and Cal's good, and we're going to get into them in a minute. I mean, that's a rough road trip. I mean, going to SMU, that's a rough road trip. And these schools are near nobody. And it just, I don't know, the ACC definitely has its question marks, and we got to see how it turns out. But the one thing I think we all agree on is if James Franklin can raise the level of Va Tech, if Florida State can become Florida State again, if Dabo can return Clemson and Miami's already back, suddenly the ACC has a completely different look with a team like Louisville who's right there, with a team like Virginia that's right there, with other teams like NC State that could be right there. North Carolina's a sleeping giant. There's a lot of things that can happen. They just, right now, it just doesn't look that way on paper.
No, you're right. And there's another sleeping giant that I want to talk about. If you don't mind, let's get into that next level. Pitt,
sure, let's do it.
The Pitt Panthers, Pat Narduzzi's squad. You know, Pittsburgh again, they get off to a good start the last couple of years, and then they fade towards the end of the season. I think Narduzzi's got to put it all together. He's got to. He's a good coach. They're bringing back Mason Hinshire to be their quarterback. Last year at the end of the season, he had 4 games, 300 yards passing. He threw for over 2,000 yards and 16 TDs last year. He's returning his running back, Jakarian Turner, who had 745 yards and 7 TDs. He needs the wide receiver room to step up. He brought in Malik Wright from Western Carolina, and he returns his wide receiver and returner, Katarius Hicks. On the defensive side, he brought in a new defensive coordinator, Corey Sanders, who replaced the retiring Randy Bates. Corey's been with the team for a while. He looks good. 179 tackles and 7.5 sacks. That's what that defense had. But they lost that in linebacker Kyle Louie to the NFL and Rasheem Biles transferred to Texas. But he returns linebacker Braylon Lovelace and he returns edge rusher Ghost Neal. And he had 3.5 sacks once he moved him to the edge. I think Pitt's got a chance. Now, their schedule-wise, they have UCF in the second week. Then they got Syracuse, Bucknell. October 2nd, they're going to Va Tech. That could be a loss. Then they got Carolina, BC. They're going to Miami. Then Georgia Tech, Florida State, at Louisville, and at Cal. So it'll be interesting. Could Pitt make a little bit of a run? I don't think they're going to make a run to the top, to the championship game, but I do think they could be leading off that 6-7-8 matchup, you know, in the conference where they'll get a decent bowl game, but they're making strides. What do you think? Yeah, well, what do you think? Who do you think has a shot?
I think Cal is one of those sneaky good teams, and there's one reason why. His name is Jaron Keane Sagapuletelele. Well, he goes by JKS, and that's what we're going to call him, too. This kid is an absolute stud. He was, as a freshman, he was out of Hawaii. He was a difference maker. He makes big plays in big games. Got a solid O-line. 2 transfers coming in at tackle. The interior is really good. Problem with this team is they were 133rd out of 134 teams in running the football. Dealt with some injuries, but the simple fact of the matter is they did not run the ball well. And if that's the case, they get worn down in the fourth quarter, and they were bad in the fourth quarter. That's what happens. But they bring in Adam Muhammad from Washington, who's kind of a beast. It's going to be a huge upgrade at running back. Wide receiver, they bring in Ian Strong from Rutgers. Again, we talked about this in other shows. Rutgers transfers coming in all over the place. Chase Hendricks from Ohio, who's a burner, right? So they have the weapons on offense. He was throwing to guys that got scholarships after being walk-ons last year and had huge numbers. JKS is going to tear it up with real receivers, and it's going to be a different feel for them. The defense sucked last year, right? But, you know, they're going to get better. I mean, Aaron Hampton's back at linebacker. He's a tackling machine. He's a big-time player, bringing 2 A&M transfers in, Tristan Jornica and Solomon Williams. So they have players to play. They added 2 SEC corners, all right? Ricky Foster from Ole Miss, Daniel Harris from Georgia. So they trying to get better against the pass because they weren't that good. And Oregon transfer Kingston Looper to anchor the safety position. They can get to the quarterback. They have guys that can get there. They were brutal in the fourth quarter. They committed way too many penalties. They didn't do a great job on time of possession. These are all things that first-year coach Tosh Lupoi has to fix. If he can get this team going that way, his first job was to keep JKS there and not let him transfer out when he got the job, and he did that. His second job is to make sure this team doesn't fall apart in the fourth quarter. Now, there's another interesting schedule for this team, all right? They open up with UCLA, another new coach, interesting team. They're home in that game. Then they fly to Syracuse, come back for Wagner. You know, everybody's always looking forward to that Wagner game. And they get Clemson at home. Then they go to UNLV, which is not easy because you got, you know, you got Dan Mullen running that squad over there. Then they get Vatek and Wake to come to them. But they go to SMU and NC State, bye, and then Virginia. Three road games in a row. Stanford, and then finish up at the aforementioned Pitt Panthers. So Cal, because of the way they, the schedule is, because there's only one other team on the West Coast in their conference, everything's a trip. Everything's a challenge for this team. They're going to have a shot. We're gonna know about them real quick. They have to beat UCLA early, and we're going to find out how good they are when they play Clemson in week four. Because if they start off by miraculously 2-2, they're not going anywhere. They'll be a bowl team. But this team has enough excitement on offense, and you're going to see this kid be probably talked about, not next year, but the year after, as one of the top quarterbacks coming out in the draft. JKS has that kind of talent. So Cal will be fun to watch. The ACC After Dark, which have Joe glued at 11 o'clock at night till we all pass out at 12. But it's going to be fun to watch. I think Cal's got an opportunity to be dangerous, especially because that offense is so good, Joe. Joe, there was another squad, though, that you were looking at that you think is at mid-pack but could make that next little jump. And they play in Raleigh, if I don't remember, if I'm not mistaken.
They are. They are the Wolfpack of NC State. But last year, their defense was horrible. 137 missed or broken tackles, and they only sacked the quarterback 20 times during the season. They allowed 118 explosive plays. They have got to remake that defense. DJ Elliott's the defensive coordinator, and he has got to do something big. They brought in a linebacker for the transfer from Miami, Raul Aguirre, and Dakari Nelson from Penn State. Their defense, they have to turn it around. It's going to be so important. It's going to take a while for this defense to go. They also brought in a corner, Andre Evans from Georgia. But they have to get this pass rush going. It's going to take a while. They probably have another year or two. They have two sophomores in Josiah Victor and Chase Bond who are going to help on the defense. Offensively, they got quarterback C.J. Bailey to stay for another year. He completed 68% of his passes, 3,100 yards, 25 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. They also have running back Duke Scott, who showed a lot of promise late in the season. They brought in a wide receiver, JoJo Trader, from Miami. He was a big prospect for Miami. And then he's a blue-chip prospect for them. He's got to get some promise back in his game. He's playing for NC State now. And they brought in a wide receiver transfer from Buffalo, Victor Snow. They did not replace, though, your friend, Hollywood Smothers, the name of the year. But hopefully Duke Scott will pick up some of that. And NC State can – their offensive side is in good shape. It's the defense that they're worried about. And that's going to go a long way to seeing how their year is going to go. They were mid-pack last year in the ACC at 4-4. This year, again, they opened the season up against Virginia in Brazil. Always good to have an ACC game in Brazil. Then they have Richmond, they're at Vandy, Appalachian State, and then they go into their ACC schedule. They host Louisville and Wake, then they go to Stanford, then they come back to host Cal, then they got Duke, and then they finish up with Syracuse, Florida State, and North Carolina. They avoid Clemson, and they avoid Miami, and they avoid SMU, but that might just not be enough for them to avoid to make a serious run. But again, they're probably looking at mid-level of the ACC.
One last mid-level team, and this team could go anywhere here. Boys from Atlanta, the rambling wreck of Georgia Tech. The question is Brent Key going to rebuild this thing without Haynes King, or is he retooling it? He thinks he's retooling it. This team has been very competitive the last few years. He's found the way. Haynes King is gone now, okay? So now we enter the great Alberto Mendoza. If the name sounds familiar, it's because his big brother won the championship at Indiana. He transferred out of Indiana, and he comes over to take over at Georgia Tech. Now, the thing about the two brothers is this brother runs. Fernando did not run. He could run, but he was not a runner by nature. This kid's a runner, so he's going to be able to run and throw the ball. He's going to try to run the offense like Haynes King did. Obviously, he's a sophomore, so it's going to take a little time. O-line on this team only gave up 9 sacks last year. They lost a couple of guys, but returned some good depth and talent. I think they're going to be okay. The running game on this team is excellent. Malachi Hosley is back. He's probably the most underrated running back in the conference. He's really, really good. And they bring in Justice Haynes from Michigan, who probably could have went anywhere he wanted to, and chose Tech. That's a big build-up. The backfield is really good. Receivers are transfers, all right? But Isaiah Furman from Elon's a burner. Again, I'd love to tell you I watched Isaiah Furman play at Elon. I did not. But everything I'm hearing is exciting stuff. Javion Plummer, Dalen Penson. You know, these guys are all in there to kind of help build up that wide receiver room. The defense is led by Kyle Effort in the middle, okay? It's a solid group of linebackers. They're really good. D-line has transfers like Noah Carter from Bama, Jordan Walker from Rutgers. Bama and Rutgers, the two transfer hotbeds. But they're going to rush the passer really, really well. The D-backs need a little more consistency. They're bringing Jalen Mbakwe from Bama. Interesting thing about him, he was recruited as a 5-star wide receiver. Now he's playing cornerback. All right, but he's here to help stabilize the unit. They also brought in the safety from USF as well. So they have talent. The thing about Georgia Tech is how quickly can Mendoza get the offense and lead things and get things going for this team. The other thing about this is, you can say what you want about Bricky, he has no problem scheduling. They open up with Colorado at home. Then they play Tennessee. After the Mercer game, they fly across country to play Stanford, come back for Duke, have to go to Vatech, have to go to Pitt, have Louisville home, go to Clemson, and they end the season at Georgia. I mean, this is a gauntlet of a schedule. If they can get off in those first two games against Colorado and Tennessee, well, they'll be favored against Colorado, but they will not be against Tennessee. But if they can pull off that upset early, the mindset for this team is going to be very different than it will be if they start off, say, you know, 1-1. It's going to be a real huge, you know, I don't know, a feather in their cap, so to speak, if they can figure out a way to get past the Volunteers of Tennessee. But that's a huge game second week of the season for them. And we're going to find out, but I think Tech's got talent, and the coach wins. So we're going to find out what happens here with them. But those are probably the end of the upper echelon teams. Even though there's a couple of teams below, Joe, that could be a little bit competitive.
Could be. And one of them is a team who 2 years ago played for the national championship, and that's the Seminoles of Florida State. But you talk about a hot seat. Mike Norvell is on a hot seat. This guy, at this point, 2 consecutive losing seasons. So in 2022, he goes 10-3, and then he goes 13-1, and then it's been a complete disaster since then. Complete disaster since then. And it's not good. It's not good. Right now, they're looking for they do return on the defensive side, 2 twins, Mangel and Darryl Dazier, on the defensive line return. They're bringing in they have a freshman quarterback in Kevin Sperry, and he's going to go up against the Auburn transfer who played 2 years starter at Stanford, Ashton Daniels. Right now, it looks like Daniels will be the starter, but it's still to be determined. They're bringing in a running back, a Texas transfer, Trey Wisner, and wide receiver Duce Robinson. But, you know, Florida State, they fell from the mountaintop.
Yep.
And now they're going to be lucky. Their schedule, New Mexico State, then they got SMU week 2, Alabama week 3. They're going to be they're going to probably be 1-2 out of the gate already. Central Arkansas, but then Virginia and at Louisville, at Miami versus Clemson, at BC, at Pitt versus NC State, and then Florida. They do not have any favors. Mike Norvell's got no favors in this schedule. They are coming at them fast and furious. Do I think he's going to survive the year? Probably not. If he does, he's probably going to be gone unless after week three, they're 3-0. I don't see it getting any easier for them. And I'm circling the game. By the Clemson game, by Halloween, he could be out of a job. Because at that point, they could be 1-2, 2-3, 2-4, 2-5, 2-6. And that'll be completely unacceptable in Florida State.
Yeah, I mean, this is Bobby Bowden's world. This is not supposed to happen. This is not supposed to happen. Here's a quick one, though. You want to find a team that's going to be better than last year and have a worse record? Go no further than Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Wake Forest. Jake Dickert is back in year two. Here's the thing. They went 4-8, 4-8 last 2 years on the Clemson. They go 9-4 last year, including the bowl win against Mississippi State. But their schedule is a gauntlet this year. Jake Dickert brings Gio Lopez with him from North Carolina, who did not do well at North Carolina, but did well 2 years ago at South Alabama. But the thing is, the offensive coordinator is the guy that worked with him at South Alabama, so they're hoping to get that chemistry back. He actually could be an upgrade at quarterback from Robbie Ashford, okay? Strong the O-line, only two starters back, but they got a lot of transfers. They could be good. Ty Clark, he was not – Claiborne was the starter last year. Clark is ready to take over the load. Carlos Hernandez, the number one receiver, is back. They got a couple of transfers as well. The defense returned 7 of 11 starters. The defense is going to be really good. They were really good last year. They're going to be really good this year. But here's the problem. After opening up with Akron, they go to Purdue. I know it's not the best team in the Big Ten, but still it's a road game in a Big Ten school. Then they host Miami, go to Louisville. They host Stanford, okay. Then they go to NC State and Cal. Then they come home from Virginia, get Merrimack, and then they go to SMU and Georgia Tech and come home for Duke. They'll be fighting to get 6-6, maybe 7-5 with this schedule. Could be 5-7. But this team's going to be better than last year. The defense is going to be great. The problem is last year the schedule wasn't this gauntlet. This year Wake is up against a lot. If Gio Lopez can get any of the magic back, they can pull off an upset or two. They could find their way to sneak to 7-5, 8-4. But right now, you got to consider them to be on the bottom end, and not because they're a bad team. I think they're going to beat all the middle of the pack teams, all the ones at home. And I think they're going to give them a tough matchup on the road. The problem is they play everybody good, and you know the one they get at home is Miami, which is brutal. So that's just Wake. But Joe, you know, where are we with Coach Belichick? Is Belichick next, or are we saving him?
Well, I was going to save him.
Save him then.
Because you know what? If I would have told you there was a team in the last 4 years, there's only three ACC there's only two ACC teams, Clemson and Louisville, with more wins than the Duke Blue Devils. And you would have thought possibly that was basketball.
I would have Duke thought definitely it was basketball.
Duke is also one of only 12 Power 4 teams to win 8 games in the last 4 years. Definitely not a Duke football stat. But Duke football has had a little bit of a resurgence with Manny Diaz. They're returning Nate Shepard at running back, who had over 1,000 yards and 11 TDs. He comes in from Syracuse, I should say. They lost the quarterback, like you mentioned earlier, Darian Mensa, and they lost their leading wide receiver, Cooper Barkley, to Miami. They have to improve their secondary this year. It was last in the ACC. So they brought in from Evan Smith and Patrick Smith Young to be in the secondary. Look, is Duke going to hang tough? They probably will. They were surprised last year. Nobody's expected it, and Duke is still not known for their football. They're not going to ever be a football school. Does the schedule break their way this year? Interesting. They got to go to Virginia the end of October, and then they're at Miami on November 14th, and then versus Clemson the following week, the 21st. So there are three possibilities of them losing during the year. So they could be in the conversation, but that's only if these other teams falter in any way. But that seems to be the way Duke is in the ACC. They hang back. They're just alive and in it. And they strike when they have to. Now, before I go to Carolina, there's another school you want to go to.
Well, let's talk about BC for a second. Bill O'Brien, back for year two, had a monstrous 2-10 record in year one. So not exactly the way they wanted to start. And here it is. I mean, listen, the fact of the matter is that they open up at Cincinnati, which, you know, it won't be easy. They then host Rutgers, then they host Maine, and then they host Va Tech, and then the schedule gets harder a little bit. The thing about this team is They were horrible. They were 128th in the nation defensively last year. Just really, really bad. They also weren't lucky. They had 10 fumbles and lost 9 of them. How does that happen? Lose 90% of the fumbles? I mean, they couldn't do anything right. Replacement at quarterback, Grayson Wilson comes in to play quarterback from Arkansas. We didn't see him play at Arkansas. I don't know if it's an upgrade. What I do know is that Bill O'Brien's going to have to do better than 2-10, or he will be on his way out at BC. And you know what? You'd like to see BC. BC was a fun team when we were young, Joe. It was the Flutie years and all that other stuff. And BC was a team that would find a way to bother Notre Dame in big spots. And, you know, they were Chestnut Hill was hopping. It was a place to be. BC's been on hard times for a long time now. And you'd like to see them bounce back. Liberty transfer Evan Dickers, he's the primary running back. He's going to have to control the ball and move the chains. The defense is bad. They're going to try to retool it as much as they can. Hard for me to imagine BC doing anything in this league. I hope for their sake they can go from 2-10 to 4-8 just to try to make this team more competitive and give Bill O'Brien something to build on, because the last thing you want to see on a bad team is for them to keep having to make coaching changes and start all over again. And this was a once proud school, and they just have not done well since they've gone to the ACC, Joe.
You know what? It makes you yearn for the days of the Big East. Yeah, them, Pitt, Miami, Syracuse, they should have never left, but that's a whole nother – that's a conversation for a new night. Now, the Tar Heels of North Carolina. Oh, my God. This has got to be the end of the experiment with Bill Belichick. Things are falling apart. I think in the hiring of offensive coordinator Bobby Petrino, he's going to be the coach in waiting. Originally, I thought it was going to be Steve Belichick, but he just stepped away from the team this past week with an undisclosed medical issue. But I'm thinking Bobby Petrino may be coach in waiting here in UNC, especially with the loss of now two Mike Lombardi as, I guess it's a general manager or the president or whatever they call it in college sports now. Everybody's got a title. But the Belichick experiment's got to end. It's like this is – it's becoming a disaster, I think, down in North Carolina. This school went from, you know, Lawrence Taylor, then they had decent years. They were always their name. Now it's just a disaster. They have Jordan Shipp, who's going to be running the ball. Receiving. He caught 60 passes last year for 671 yards, 6 touchdowns. They brought in a transfer quarterback, Billy Edwards Jr. from Wisconsin, and they have running back Damon June, who rushed for 464 yards. The defensive side, Belichick himself is probably going to coach the defense until his son Steve returns. But they have Caleb Cost and Jaden Patterson on the back end, and they have and Melkert Abu-Ajabe with 10.5 sacks. So they have the makings of a decent defense. The problem is it's North Carolina in football. It's not making it. They start off with TCU on 8/29. Over in Dublin. Then on the 19th of September, they're at Clemson, and then they got Notre Dame on the, then they go to Clemson, then they host Notre Dame, they're going to Pitt, they're at Duke, then they got Syracuse, okay, then they're hosting Miami, they go to UConn, but then they host Louisville, go to Virginia, and then they host NC State. I don't see Carolina getting to the necessary wins to get into a bowl game. I think it's going to be another subpar year. And I think this could be the time where Belichick just walks away and says he's done. I think that's one of the reasons why Bobby Petrino came in as offensive coordinator to be the coach in waiting.
Yeah, because he's done so well everywhere he's been lately.
I know, but you know,
but Bobby Petrino, the offense should move. We're going to see what
happens. It should move, but I think, and that's one of the reasons why I think they brought him in, though, is they need coaching experience. I can't see Belichick doing this for another year. Especially if they have another subpar season.
No, I agree. I mean, you know, last squad here, and then we'll talk about it all.
Oh no, and then I got one for you too after that.
Oh, we have one more after? My bad. My last squad, Stanford, the Cardinals. So GM, you know, Mr. Luck, Andrew Luck, brings in Tavita Pritchard to take over for the Cardinal. He was the Commanders quarterback coach. Our friend Gino will be happy to know. This thing about Stanford, I mean, David Warren has to be kind of steady at quarterback. Micah Ford has to carry the load. This is a team that had a bad offense and a bad defense. They didn't do that much to really improve it. This is probably the worst team in the ACC. If not, it's going to be right down there near the bottom. Teams are going to have to travel in there. That's never easy. But Stanford had some pride for a few years, the Harbaugh years, the Luck years, and all of a sudden now it seems like they've been hit with hard times. Maybe Tevita Pritchard's the right answer. I don't really know if he is or isn't. But, again, it's very hard. They made some subs but and some signings, but the defense was just so bad, and the offense doesn't really make you excited. I mean, again, David Warren is not someone that you're excited about running the show. And Micah Ford's a nice running back, but are the offensive linemen going to open up holes for him? This is going to be a bottom feeder team definitely in the ACC. I hope for their sake they're competitive. I want to see them play well. I don't want to see Stanford get embarrassed. But right now, there's just not a lot of good things to say about this squad. Maybe Tevita Pritchard turns it all around for this squad. We're going to find out, Joe, but I don't have a lot of high hopes there in Stanford.
Well, I got Syracuse, so I really got the short end of the stick. The Syracuse Orange, they're going to be lucky if they win a game in the ACC this year. They're down over 20 players who played at least 100 snaps for them. The defense gave up 250 yards per game. Now, they did go out, and they brought in new defensive coordinator Vince Kerrs, who led Mount Union to two Division III championships while he was the coach there, and then he led Toledo to the number four defense. But he has to think he's at Syracuse. They're going nowhere fast this year. They do return quarterback Steve Angeli, who's returning from an ACL, but Fran Brown's crew, I don't see them getting out of their own way. They were 1-7 in the ACC last year, and one of my three bold predictions is that Syracuse is going to go winless in the ACC this year. I don't see a win possible on their ACC schedule.
It's going to be interesting. Who's going to be worse then?
Yeah, I think they're worse than Stanford.
It's going to be there's a lot to look forward to in this conference. These two teams, unfortunately, have a bit of a ways to go, and let's hope.
And it's going to be a ways to go. I mean, Darren, we just went, you know, from top to bottom, 1-17, and there's just not a. There are the haves, there are the almost, and then there are the have-nots. And these last five or six teams, I mean, anywhere after Duke, I don't know if they're even going to, you know. If the conference is so big, I don't even know if they could do it. I mean,
I don't either. It's going to be, I don't know. You know what? A lot of these teams, we don't know how good the depth is. We don't know if injuries are going to affect. We don't know if there's a surprise. But right now on paper, these two teams do look to be the two weakest teams in the conference. So, Joe, you gave me one of yours. I'm going to give you one of mine.
Okay.
Dabo wins 9 games. I think Clemson finds a way to be 9 games and becomes very competitive. Last year, 7-6. This year, I think they get it back up to 9. Give me your second one, Joe.
Second one is in the Heisman contention and is going to be invited this Saturday night, Isaac Brown, the running back from Louisville.
Okay.
I think he's going to be invited to the trophy presentation. I'm not predicting him as the winner yet, but I think he's going to get invited to the dance.
I say both Belichick and Norvell will not finish the season.
Okay.
Both will be gone before the season is out, both Florida State and North Carolina. I think Belichick will step down because of health reasons, which will be a load of crap. And I think Norvell will just flat out be, you know, fired.
Right. Well, I'm going to give you one more. And I spoke about him earlier. I think James Franklin's going to put Vatek in the title game of the ACC.
You're going to laugh at this because we didn't talk about this before. And my third one is I think that Virginia gets back to the title game of the ACC. Wow. So we really do think that last game of the season.
That last game of the season is going to decide
the goodness, ACC. Joe, that's crazy. I was joking when I said it before, but you have Vatek and I have Virginia. So let's see who's going to make it there at the very end. But really exciting stuff. The conference is going to be competitive, Joe. It's going to be competitive. Is there a bottom feeder team that you think has a shot to kind of move up? When I say bottom feeder, like, I don't know, not necessarily the last two
teams. I think Pitt could make it to the top. They can make it into that top six, top five conversation. I don't think they're going to make it into the top four. You know, we talked about it earlier, the schedule. The way these teams avoid other teams, it kind of screws it all up, because if everybody had to play 16 games and play everybody once, it would be a lot easier to separate them. The fact that, you know, we're making a prediction and we're talking about things when teams aren't playing teams, it kind of puts a lot of pressure, you know, it takes a lot of pressure off. Like we talked about LSU, SMU, Miami, avoiding, and Clemson, avoiding certain opponents, and somebody like Vatek having to play them all. So there's a chance that, you know, that could be the only reason that could keep Vatek out of the conversation. But Duke seems to play themselves into the championship game conversation because they just win the games that they're going to win and everybody else is killing each other. So it's kind of like who you play. I mean, we got that early game. There was the let me just go back and look. There was an early SMU game, or was it?
SMU early? Louisville was September 19th.
Yes, September 19th. That, do you know, the old days, you lost one game in your conference, you were just about out. Remember the old SEC?
Absolutely.
Florida, Tennessee would play. Whoever lost that game couldn't win the national championship.
You're right.
So with the playoff, that's given a little bit of that back. But do we see the ACC getting maybe two teams? Will they get three? I mean, we went to the first two conferences, the Big Ten, probably getting two, maybe three teams. And the SEC.
I think more than that, Joe. I think the Big Ten is going to get three minimum.
So if they get three, the SEC is probably going to get three.
SEC is probably going to get five.
So that's eight, and then everybody else gets one, and we call it a day.
Well, I mean, listen, you might find a way to get a second team. The ACC, you know, last year almost didn't get a team, like we said in the beginning.
Yeah.
Miami, on paper, is better than every team that we talk about.
Yes.
And it's nothing against SMU because Jennings is back. He just doesn't have the weapons he had last year. He's going to have to do it himself, but he's an exciting player. So maybe Kevin Jennings makes things happen. Louisville, you know, you get an Ohio State quarterback transfer, you get excited about it. It builds. Jeff Brohm's like a quarterback whisperer. There's a lot of things you like about that. So there's a lot of things you see there. Clemson, Vizzini, you don't know. We don't know. There's actually, the door is still slightly ajar for the freshmen to get to play a lot. So we're going to find out if Vizzini's even the guy. He can move a little bit. Klubnik was probably the better athlete, but we're going to find out. Georgia Tech has a gauntlet of a schedule. Virginia, I think, has the offensive line to make them competitive. The only reason why I like them. Wake is a team that's going to be better and worse. I mean, there's a lot of things because it depends on the damn schedule that you get in this league. It's tough right now. It really is tough. And what we're dealing with is uneven schedules, and it's not balanced at all. And unfortunately, money speaks. And I don't think any of this is going anywhere anytime soon, unfortunately.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right. And until they figure out a scheduling tactic that's going to work, it's just going to be...
You almost need two divisions, and you play everybody in your division every year. And but I don't know if they're all...
They almost have to do like the English soccer, where they do the Premier League, where they relegate.
Yep.
And you split your conference, and you have an A and a B, and then you relegate teams down and up so that you keep the competition decent.
Yeah, I mean, because right now we sit there and talk about teams like Syracuse and like, you know, Stanford, and you don't feel like there's a chance. I think Cal is a team that has a chance if the defense shows up to be good, but we don't know what Tosh Lapoy is. We don't know what he is as a head coach. I know he's a defensive guy. Hopefully he's able to bring that. But and JKS is a super talent. But we don't know what really to expect.
And the coaches don't get the time anymore. Giving a guy 5 years or 6 years to try to win. It's, if you don't win now out of the gate and you don't have the NIL money and you don't have the guys coming in, you know, we got to move on.
Exactly. Well, the ACC is going to be competitive. That much we know. We'll be covering it all year long. We'll be letting you know what's going on in the conference. We'll be looking for your feedback and the listenership. If anybody wants to come in, chime in, tell us what they think. That's what we're looking for. We want your opinions. We're going to be getting a lot of opinions throughout the season, and hopefully one of them is yours. So feel free to let us know what your thoughts are on our predictions on the ACC and, you know, and how it looks week in and week out and what you're seeing and what you're expecting to see in weeks to come. Anything else you want to add, Joe?
No, that's it.
All right, man. We are the Bowl Games and Brackets podcast. All right, it's Darren and Joe here talking to you about the ACC here at Episode 3. What we're looking to do is try to start off a great college podcast. We want the college podcast to be for college sports fans, not just the regular crap that everybody else talks about, but we want to get deeper. We want to let you know more than everybody else is doing. And you know what? We can do that, but we're going to need your help in order to do it. So join us. Be part of our show. And may you keep your bracket sharp and your bowl dreams alive.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.